This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Just to be completely honest with you, we are at about 60%, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. It's not a great show for the DGS.
No, it's not. Andrew is back after losing another 22 pounds, being sick for the second time in a week. Wheeler is at home being vulnerable for the first time in his life, I think. he texted us this morning and said, "I'm up for nothing. I'm going back to bed." I feel like I might be right behind him. I get a little sore throat last night and feeling a little peckish. So lower your expectations.
We're doing our best.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
We're doing our best.
So most of you who've been with the show for a long time know this, but if you don't, I've been on KMOX for about 5 years now. Before that, I did 20 years on 97.1 FM Talk. And during that time, I met and got to be friends with Mark Cox, who does the morning show. And today happens to be his 15th anniversary on the air. So I thought it was only fitting to bring him on and give him his due. Mark, congratulations, my buddy.
Dave, I appreciate that. Rachel, how are you?
I'm doing great. Mark, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Time flies, huh? 2010. I can't believe it's been 15 years already. And, of course, I did some fill-in at the station for a few years prior to that actual hire date. So it's been a long time, and it's been a blessing, actually.
So you started with a show on Sunday nights, right?
I did. In fact, you produced my – you helped – co-produced my show for a while,
time.
I think, when I was doing that on Sunday evenings. Sunday nights from 7 to 9. And then of course, I moved to the middays and then eventually to the morning show. So it's been a great journey.
And it's been an exciting time. I mean, to be a political commentator, my Lord. This kind of walk me through some of the highlights of your career.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, Dave, is exactly one way to put it. I mean, I think I joked with our former boss, Jeff Allen, one time. He said, you know, at some point, it used to be hard to do a four-hour-long talk show. You actually had to work to schedule guests and come up with topics. And then sometimes the last few years, it seems like the last probably 8 or 10 years, it just kind of falls in your lap out of the sky every day.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, local or national or whatever. I mean, it's just been fantastic. I've gotten to go to Washington a few times, to the White House the last few years, and, you know, cover these stories in Jeff City, which I think is fantastic. I mean, the real joy for me is that I've always been a news hound from being in television news for 25 years and having the opportunity to really pick my subjects. I mean, nobody tells me what to cover, what not to cover. I try to find the things I think are most interesting to my audience, and whether it's something that's, you know, an election in the city or some controversy at the legislature down in Jeff City or even something in Washington. So it's been a lot of fun.
So you are always my example on the show. I don't know if you know this, but I reference you a lot because you and I have different political opinions. I got called a light libertarian the other day by one of my listeners. I'm like, I can live with that. And you're obviously very conservative and in the corner with Donald Trump, the president. But we're buddies. We can have a bourbon. We can watch basketball. We can talk about other things. And I always use you as an example of how it should be between people politically.
Oh, yeah. And it's a shame that it's not like that anymore. I mean, you know, I've got strong opinions. You've got strong opinions. I can't tell you how many people on social media that I've lost as friends over the years because they've just decided that if you can't agree with them on politics, you can't be friends with them. And I think it's just the height of ridiculousness. I don't know when it came to that in this country. And, you know, maybe social media played a big role in that because it's a lot easier to be a brave keyboard warrior than it is to say something to somebody's face. And part of our job is saying something to thousands of faces every day on the radio who are listening, obviously. And I don't know. I hate that, but I'm glad that you know who your true friends are, and that's kind of unfortunately how things have worked out over the years. I hate it, but it's kind of the world we live in these days. I don't know how we put that genie back in the bottle, Dave.
Yeah, I think you just have to start over again and hope that the next generation gets it better than we did. So, Mark, how up to date are you on what happened in the Oval Office today between the two presidents?
No, I watched the whole thing. I was actually with my mom watching the local Channel 4 news we're getting ready to watch the Channel 4 news when CBS cut in with that last 10 minutes of that news conference. So I got to watch all of it, and it was quite a display, wasn't it?
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that it unfolded that way. And I don't think it was, I really don't think it was headed that way until, President Zelensky, quite frankly, decided to either push back or get in a disagreement with the vice president. I think there would have been an opportunity there for both sides to say, let's have that discussion behind closed doors. Mr. Zelensky didn't seem to be willing to do that, and certainly President Trump wasn't willing to do that. I probably have a different view on this than anybody on your show. Mm-hmm. And I think Vladimir Zelensky is in a very weak position right now. And I don't think he was in a position to take on the Trump administration today in a very public way. I know he's got to be defensive because obviously he has a great love for his country and he's been embroiled in a war for 3 years. But without our continued support, he can't win that war. And I don't think the president was ready to pull our support from him. But I think it's time for them to admit that there's going to have to be a negotiated peace to this situation. Because NATO, they're not a member of NATO. The U.S. is not putting troops on the ground over there. And eventually they're going to run out of either people or resources. So, I think we're at a point in this where it needs to be negotiated into a peace. And I feel that the Biden administration let it string out for entirely too long by refusing to even entertain the idea of peace talks.
We're talking to Mark Cox on his 15th anniversary of being on 97.1. Mark, what about the criticism from the left that Trump is either playing into Putin's hands or he is intentionally siding with Putin, but that Putin is jumping for joy? I'm sure you saw that Medvedev, the former president, said something about Zelensky being a pig who got slapped down as he should have in the Oval Office today.
Well, I've never bought into a Trump-Russia collusion argument. That was manufactured to begin with. And there's really no evidence of it. Nobody was tougher on Vladimir Putin when he was president than Donald Trump, certainly not Joe Biden. I do believe President Trump when he says that had he been president, Vladimir Putin wouldn't have gone into Crimea, and he wouldn't have invaded the Ukraine. We've just had weak leadership, I believe. I don't think this is anything about wanting to prop up or help Russia in any way. I really don't believe that. But I also believe that Donald Trump doesn't think it's in anybody's best interest, especially Europe, for this thing to continue raging on Ukraine's northern border there, or western border, eastern border, I guess it is, with Russia. I'm not buying that argument.
And Mark, what about, before we let you go, what about what's going on with Doge and Elon Musk and the federal workers? Because I agree, and I speak for Rach here, agree. We've said for years, both of us, that we need a smaller federal government. It's bloated and it's, duplicative and all these different things. But the way we're doing it is causing pain and seems to be causing some people on the right to have some backlash. Your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think we are at a point in my life that I've never seen before in terms of an opportunity to downsize government. You couldn't, Dave or Rachel or me or anybody we know, couldn't run their household the way we run our government. You couldn't run a business the way we run our government. And yet we spend money every day that we don't have. And when you finally have an opportunity and a group of people who are willing to take the heat, and if you're Elon Musk, willing to take the death threats to try to rein in some of the spending in Washington, it's almost impossible to do. Two-thirds of our government spending is committed from day one. Really, there's very little stray money out there. So eliminating waste is a great way to try to at least pare down this huge debt that we have just a little bit. And you start that by reducing the deficit spending we're doing every year in Washington. So while I think it's painful, I think it's something this country has got to go through, because I don't know the next opportunity we're going to get to do it. And I'll just go ahead and say something very partisan here. We've certainly never done it with a Democrat in office, and the Republicans happen to be in control right now. I think this is their opportunity. If it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now.
Mark, one last question. If you had to, and you needed to be honest, what advice would you give to the Democratic Party right now?
That's a really good question. I mean, first of all, probably don't take the 20% argument on everything. I heard Scott Jennings say this on CNN. It's not an original thought on my part, but I agree with him wholeheartedly. If you just do the opposite of whatever Donald Trump likes, and it just so happens that the majority of people want smaller government and they support a lot of what he's trying to do on immigration, and you're automatically 100% against it, you're never going to win that argument. You've got to find some middle ground. And I think that the decision they made in the last election cycle to let the hardest progressive voices in their party rule the day is not going to be a winner for them, even in the midterms, if things keep going the way they're going. I don't know if there's anybody over there acknowledging that or not, but that would be my advice to them.
Mark, we need to have you on more often. Congratulations again on 15 years and 97.1. Happy anniversary.
Dave, Rachel, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, pal.
All right, see ya.
So that was your first job.
Yeah, first full-time job in radio was producing for Mark for a couple months and then moved on over to this show. Mm-hmm. But Mark's a great guy, really. Congratulations to him on 15 years.
It's a big deal.
It is. And luckily I was working with him before he moved to mornings, because I don't know if I would have done so well.
You did a lot of mornings though, right?
I did. I did a lot, and I never got used to it. And that's the thing, is like people say you never get used to it, ever. So I think I would probably fall into that category as well.
I always thought I wanted to be a morning guy. It was like when I came into radio in 2000, morning shows were definitely the big deal. And then at some point, about 10 years ago, it supposedly switched over to afternoon shows. And now I don't think it makes that big of a difference, because...
Oh, not with podcasts not and with, stuff.
Yeah, like a minority of our show, I believe, listen live to the radio. You know, in their cars, cars are at home. People are streaming. People are podcasting. So the whole thing, like, oh, you're a morning guy, you're an afternoon guy, you're a midday guy, I don't think it really matters that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho. 22 DGS and KMOX. One good thing about being sick is it makes my voice sound good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not ever this deep. This morning, there was some talk, even Rach and I were texting pretty early this morning, and I told her, like, I woke up bad. I don't feel good. And being Rach, she's like, stay home. I'll do the show. It's fine. I'm like, no, Wheeler's out. I have to, you know, no, I can do the show. I think you're kind of glad now that you don't have to do the whole show.
Yeah, I'm not feeling so hot myself over here. It's not coming through in my voice the way it is with you two gentlemen. But yeah, I am very tired and I want to go home. But I'm having fun with you guys. It's okay.
Good. Mm-hmm. Razor's Edge?
Yeah. Would you rather talk about like kind of a heavy topic or would you rather do fast food news? Totally up to you guys.
You make the call, Sicky.
Let's save fast food news for later because I think that we're gonna. So as we're hurting now, we're gonna be hurting worse.
That's a good point.
In
That's
an
a good
hour.
Point.
Okay, so a new study shows that the majority of U.S. citizens describe American society as toxic.
Yeah, I saw that.
25% of respondents are considering settling abroad. But younger generations, in particular, are driving the trend, saying that this is just a toxic place to live. 65% of the citizens surveyed for the study say they believe American society has become increasingly toxic. My question for you guys is, what do you think makes us toxic? Because it's really easy to be like, oh, it's a toxic situation. But what do you think the real sticking point of the issue is?
I have said this before, and I'll say it again. I think that it all started around the turn of the century, around 2000. And I think it was the perfect storm of 9/11, just knocking us back on our ass, of 24-hour news that we had never experienced before. And the news realizing they probably always knew that the mean stuff, the toxic stuff would sell, but they didn't do it because they were journalists and they were good Americans. And then at some point, they stopped caring about that and they only cared about the ratings. And so I think those two things. And then the third thing I would say is that following this, we collectively chose up sides. Like we haven't probably since the Civil War, not to be hyperbolic, but probably not since then, where we were a 50-50 nation and it wasn't just Tip O'Neill and Bill Clinton and, you know, people meeting behind closed doors and making deals in smoke-filled rooms. It was us openly and violently hating each other. So, like I would say to you, I'm old enough that I remember when life wasn't like this. So it hasn't been that long.
So you think if we got rid of 24-hour news, we would stop being toxic?
No. I think that it's sort of like a couple who something is introduced into their marriage and the marriage becomes toxic. It's not that you can't save it, but I doubt that it's, oh, if you just got rid of that one thing, we would be happily married again. So I think that the nation is going through, whether we know it or not, sort of a divorce.
Yeah, I think part of it is one thing that really is a huge pet peeve of mine. I don't like it when people are like, let's say we're arguing a point. And then someone says, these are the same people who think fill in the blank. We don't know that. Americans are not a monolith. Republicans are not a monolith. Democrats are not a monolith. I think that kind of thinking is extremely unhelpful, but I think a lot of us think that way and use logic in that way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, so you think that you're on that team, so you believe all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason why we've gotten so toxic. I think that's how we contribute to the toxicity. Mm-hmm. Because I don't agree that it's like, I mean, I do agree that 24/7 news had something to do with it, but I don't think it's all that. We're all making individual choices to play into this.
I mean, it's a new world. Mm-hmm. You know, like Phoebe doesn't remember the old world and Nick barely does.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever world you're born into, you just think that that's the way it is and probably the way it always has been. And so I just think that we're frogs in the boiling water. You know, that it's just gotten so bad and we've forgotten that it doesn't have to be this way.
Welcome. Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday, 2:34. Dave Murray will be here, of course. Matt Pauly will join us from Jupiter. No, not Matt Pauly. Bernie Miklas.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Not from Jupiter.
Not from Jupiter. Yes. George Mahey is here from St. Louis Magazine. So exciting. Kind of a changing of the guard. We are going to be changing our judges for the DGS Catholic Fish Smackdown. I have the trophy. It's 17 and a half inches tall.
Very nice.
It's really big. And
sounds like a fishtail already.
Yeah, and that'll be starting next Friday. So George, of course, will be with us. And then who will be with you?
And Cheryl Bear will be with one of the judges. And she's my cohort in crime at the magazine. She and I are co-hosts of the Arch Eats podcast. And if she's not an OG, she's pretty close. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been around a while. She was the former critic for the RFT before it dearly departed. And so she's working with us now and just an absolutely brilliant food mind. And with her and with us is going to be Holly Fan, who's a contributor. And Holly is an insanely good writer. If there's a lot of the national articles about St. Louis restaurants, she gets the call. Holly gets the call from Forbes and from Eater and people like that. So she's a great writer and really, really sharp. And anyway, they're more excited about it than I am. I mean, I've done this before, nice. So it's like, but they go, this is going to be so much fun. I go, yes, it really
it
is.
It will be a lot of fun.
So we'll see. It'll be, you know, some fresh eyes and some fresh taste buds on this. And anyway, it'll be great. And it's 5 or 6 weeks. I forget.
I don't know. That's kind of an Andrew thing.
I feel like it's 6.
Because they were asking about that, and I said, I don't know. It's Lenten Fridays. Yeah. Just look it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're having Nick has been, my son Nick, has been a judge the last few years, and it was a real cats in the cradle moment. I'm like, hey, you back in for 2025? Yeah, and he's like, Dad, I'm so busy. Michael Kelly has me jumping, and so he can't make it.
Okay.
It's five Fridays of Lent.
Five Fridays.
So five fun Fish Fry Fridays.
Well, it's George and his two cohorts from the magazine, and it'll be fun. Like I said, these ladies know their stuff,
yeah.
And I can't wait to see, their opinion on it. We'll find out.
We had
out.
A listener give us a suggestion how to do the scoring differently, and I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to take their suggestion.
Okay.
So we do the numbers, but we don't give the numbers until the very end. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So we score, but the scores are not disseminated until the final day.
Yes.
Okay.
You'll talk about, the COD's great and this and this and this, but we won't reveal the numbers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Even that day.
Right.
Okay.
Not till the end.
All right. Onward and upward, baby.
We're making changes around here.
That's
people.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Sounds good to me. No, that'll be great. It's a great thing. And interestingly enough, Cheryl Bear is just getting ready to put out her top 10 favorite fish fries.
Oh, nice.
And so I got a couple that we might want to consider that you may anyway. So
yeah,
I threw a couple at her, a couple of the DGS, not ringers, but those that have done well. And
man, the,
and really everybody. I want to get that list from Andrew. So I want to make sure that the five or six or however many we had last
the
year.
The fish fry
included.
Was in every Friday night thing for me growing up, 52 weeks of the year. The American Legion in Woodruff had it. I can still taste it. I can still smell.
You still taste that cod.
100%. I used to walk up to the big, giant, wooden old man bar, and I was like 6, 7 years old. The bartender would say, a couple of beers, and I would laugh every time. I thought that was the coolest thing. And, it's in my blood.
Yeah, it's in my blood, too. I'm a Catholic, and I'm surprised that all parishes don't do it. It's an incredible. Well, we can talk about this next week, but it's an incredible source for funds. And I know it's an organizational nightmare, but still, once you kind of get the bones of it, then it's on autopilot for the, you know, once you know everybody's going to be here this in this spot doing that, then it works real, real well. I can't wait. It's a really fun tradition. And here we go.
So I was so sad to hear that my pal Pierre's place closed at the Missouri History Museum. It was just like 2 weeks ago that I took the whole family, and it was great, and the butter cookies, and I gave a big shout-out for him on the air. And
did you go for brunch?
I did.
On Sunday?
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the restaurant at the Missouri History Museum called the Key Bistro, and it's been under Pierre's tutelage for a year and a half or so, and Pierre Chambrin Jr., your buddy, my buddy, has run, oh my gosh, 801 Chop House, the Capitol Grill, Fleming's. He was at 801 Fish. He was at Table 3. I didn't realize that out in Wildwood when it was there. And he definitely knows his stuff. And his dad is a master chef, and there aren't very many master chefs.
He was a presidential chef.
Yes, Pierre Chambrin Sr. He was the longtime executive chef at the St. Louis Club. So this guy's definitely got, it's in his blood. But so the story was there was a fire there on February 12th, a kitchen fire, a minor kitchen fire, but it set off all the, when it sets off all the sprinklers, it's going to take a while. But it's the sprinklers or the chemical. But there was some damage, and I don't think it was a massive thing, but it was enough. They're going right into Valentine's Day weekend. That wasn't good. Anyway, they took that as a reason to, I think there was they were going to close down the restaurant for a while anyway, because that whole second floor is getting renovated. They're redoing those exhibits up there. I think it's a multi-year, multi-million dollar thing. And I think the restaurant, and what Pierre said, he goes, the restaurant needed some work too, that the kitchen really needed some work. So there was a planned, I think, closure anyway. It was just kind of, this fire forced its hand. So the Key Bistro is no more. I haven't learned what will come in its stead and when, but, It's a shame because that whole, was it a nice day when you were there?
It was.
That nice panoramic view of,
really nice.
of Forest Park.
Yeah.
And that's what Pierre wanted there. He wanted kind of like a French bistro with reasonable prices and, bistro type food. And instead of, overlooking the Champs-Élysées, you get to look over Forest Park, which is not too shabby either. So I really like the whole concept, French food in our French city, and he was the right guy to pull it off. So I don't know if he's going to come back or if there's going to be somebody else or what the story is, but we'll find that out. But yeah, so I use that as an opportunity to talk about, and I thought, boy, that's horrible. Same thing you did. I go, man, that's a bummer. That was just such a nice little place. But remember, there's a nice restaurant at the art museum called Panorama, which a lot of people don't even know about because there's no signage. You drive by the art museum, you don't see it. It's fantastic. It's behind these giant floor-to-ceiling smoky windows, so you can see out, but you can't see in. And their food is great, and it's another, you know, another great food facility in Forest Park. And then you've got, you know, a little thing called the Boathouse. Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. And that place is great in its own right. And, you know, it's the Sugar Fire folks that operate that now. So there's a lot of barbecue influence. And what a lot of people don't realize about that, we all go on Sunday afternoons and hang out and watch the ducks and the people paddling the boats. But they're open for breakfast, luncheon, and early dinner every day. Mm. A lot of people don't know that. You can go there for a pork burrito at 7 in the morning if you want to. So don't forget about, even though the Key Bistro's gone, there's other places to go in Forest Park.
You have some subdued alternatives to Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I mean, I get that just as often as I do. You know, everybody knows to go to the Sular. You know, we know where to, how many times have you done that in your life, Dave?
Yeah, a dozen.
Probably a dozen?
Yeah.
Many, many more dozen for me. And all were fun and all were memorable. Yeah. And
for different reasons.
All required, you know, recoup time. Yeah, definitely for different reasons. But you've always got a story. There's always some knucklehead doing something that you can talk about the next day.
And sometimes you're the knucklehead.
Very often. Sometimes you have to be told you're the knucklehead the next day. But yeah, there's other less aggressive options out there. There's a couple more parades that people don't realize. There's one in Granite City. There's one in St. Charles. And these are all a little bit more subdued and not quite
family friendly.
Yes, they're both family friendly, not quite as raucous as the Soulard one. That 9 Mile Garden, you know, that food truck park down in Afton, I guess it is, opens. It's kind of their season opener, and they're opening on March 1st. They're opening tomorrow with, you know, face painting and bead making and necklace making and some fun stuff. And that's, again, another family-friendly venue. They've got, I think, 9 food trucks there tomorrow. So those are some other options. And then I said, you know, there's a lot of people just go like they do for St. Patrick's Day and go for a corned beef sandwich somewhere. There's go to a Cajun restaurant and they're all kicking it out too. Mm-hmm. And a couple of those that I like, or there's a place down south. Have you been to Sister City's Cajun way down on South Broadway?
No.
Really fun. The chef's a Cajun and really knows his stuff. Really great, outstanding Cajun cuisine. And they'll be doing, I forget, they've got something special. They've got special hurricanes for the occasion and some different dishes. But the place that I kind of hearkened back to, and I forget if I've ever talked about these guys on the air or not, how about the Duck Inn Market in Valley Park? Do you guys know about this place?
No.
It's run by a father and son team, and I think both of them went to the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park, which we talked about. That's mm-hmm. That's the Harvard of culinary schools. So these guys are both accredited guys, and they have this little kind of hole-in-the-wall joint. They've got they do a Cajun-inspired menu. And what I didn't realize when I wrote about it is, again, these guys are chefs that have kind of been there, done that. They don't open on weekends. They're like, you know, we're going to do this our own way. They're closed on Saturday and Sunday, and I'm writing about it as a thing to do tomorrow. And so I had to kind of back up and go, wait a minute, forget about it for the weekend, but go there for the actual Mardi Gras. Go there on Fat Tuesday. Go there next week sometime, because this Cajun-inspired menu is just I can't say, you know, how much fun it is. They've got this giant chicken leg lollipop that they do, and they've got all this Cajun, all different types of, I think they take a, they, one time they took a whole chicken and boned it out and did a French, a French-inspired stuffing. Mm. And here, have this whole chicken, and, you know, you cut it up, and stuff you just don't see. And it's this, and you see this place, and it's this hole-in-the-wall place in Valley Park, and they're open 7 to 5 Monday through Friday. So they did, we just put a picture of it up. They put there's an alligator Danish king cake. Do you see the picture of that, Rachel?
No.
I drive to Valley Park just to buy one of these things. Anyway, a very unusual spot. Listeners will thank me later for the tip. It's just one of the coolest places. And you walk in and you go, where the heck are we? Because there's bait and tackle up on one wall. And you give the order at the counter and they give you, you know, your receipt on a, it's like one of those order, you know, those little tablets.
Yeah.
And you take it back and hand it to the cook. And he makes your, you know, you hand it, you walk into the back of the place and hand it to one of these.
Love to go CIA next week. Shows.
It's really cool.
Quick break. Back with more of George after this. KMOX on KMOX. Happy Friday. Beautiful, gorgeous day out there. Probably going to top 70. A little bit cooler for the weekend, but sunny and still nice for this time of year. George Mahey is here from St. Louis Magazine. I think this is a two-year-old story, but my son Nick, who lives in the square, Lafayette Square, loves Arzolla's. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
And that used to be Chewy's. It's Chewy's family. Is that correct?
Yes.
Chewy's is maybe my favorite Mexican Tex-Mex ever.
You know, that's one of our upcoming Arch Eats segments is on restaurants that we miss, that we long after, that we crave long after their mm-hmm. demise. And Chewy's in Dogtown, is that the one you're talking about, the original?
Yeah.
That was it for a
tremendous.
Long time. It was tremendous Tex-Mex, and they did... fajitas like nobody else. They had this special marinade, and what was unusual about it is you order a beef fajita, you got a ton of beef. Mm-hmm. A lot of them is, you got a lot of vegetables, and there's the green peppers, there's the onions, there's everything. Well, where the hell's the beef?
Yeah.
And these guys were known for, it's like, hey, we're aware of this, and we're going to take care of you guys. So the descendants of Chewy's, you know, took that to heart, and at Arzolla's fajitas and margaritas, that's their thing too, and that's the way they believe it should be done, and margaritas the way they should be done. And yes, that place it's in Benton Park,
mm-hmm.
and does really well. That's one reason you can tell a place is doing well and much appreciated is all the industry people that go there. It's just loaded with industry people, and they all know their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they can go anywhere they want, and they don't get to go over, you know, they're all working all the time. So if you see industry people in your place, it's a special honor because they work 6 or 7 days a week. But that is a great little restaurant, and it's run by Eddie Arzola's son. And, boy, what... you know, really, really good. Even the queso, it's like, what do you put in this queso that makes it so good?
Yeah, go there next week, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good, and they've got an outside patio that's kind of one of those convertible. It's covered, but it's got, you know, the removable windows, so you can kind of hang out there in the winter or in the summer. But and even in the winter, I remember they used to put the little blankets over there, so if you get a little chilly, you can get the little kind of syrupy-looking little blankets.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a charming little place. It's very well run, and again the son is a really, really good operator, and he was the first. I remember when he opened a restaurant in the Grove at age 22, and he was the first tequilero, a tequila expert, a certified tequila. I didn't know there was. It's like the sommelier of tequila. And he was one, and it was bestowed and bequeathed upon him at the age of 22. I go, you're barely old enough to drink tequila,
right.
And here you're an expert. So that was my first introduction to that. I go, this guy's a dude.
Brian asking, has George ever tried Nacho Mama's in Rock Hill? One of my faves.
Sure, love it.
Classic.
Yeah, the St. Eve family has done very, very well there. And again, why is it so good? Because John St. Eve is there every single day. I used to run restaurants, and it's hard to answer the bell every day. You know, and if there's nobody else to do it, you know, we had different managers and you know, I could kind of rely on other people. But John or his wife are there every single day.
Yeah.
And they do a great job. It's the first place that I remember that had, you know, that great drive-through window that they would need a cop out on Manchester to direct the traffic because so darn many people going through the drive-through window. And one of the reasons they did is they did margaritas to go through the drive-through window, and I didn't think it was legal, but it must have been, or they wouldn't have been able to do it. But there was a lot of margaritas went through that, went out that little window.
I think my top three missed restaurants would be Racino's, in the basement.
That's on our list.
Riddell's.
Oh.
In the West End.
Yep.
That was fantastic. And the original Parkmore.
Wow. At Clayton and Big Bend?
Clayton and Big Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many. And Cheryl and I picked our favorite. I think we did our favorite dozen, six apiece. But the list we chose from, which we had to call, had about 70 or 80 places, mm-hmm. and you could make a case for any one of these. So I'm looking forward to this. This drops next Wednesday, so before we meet again, this episode will drop. And we're asking, you know, the Arch Eats listeners to, hey, what's your favorite? Because we're going to do this again. We will entertain this, you know, a second tier, and maybe not the super fancy places, but... You know, all the lettuce leaves and all these little places. Oh. Do you remember that? See? Places like that.
I asked the audience the other day, and no one knew. Do you remember a restaurant around the time of lettuce leaf and sweet tomatoes that was baked potatoes? Do you remember that place?
I do not.
I must have made it up. I swear it was downtown.
I think there was a food truck that specialized in that, but baked potatoes. No.
Yeah, maybe it was just at one of those other restaurants like Lettuce
Leaf. But, you know, these teeny little, these gumbo shop type places that, yeah. People just pine after it. Anyway, it's a really great subject matter. St. Louis loves its restaurants. It loves its restaurant history. It loves its history. So we're looking forward to that being a big deal. And my favorite was Balaban. So we've talked about this before. Just did everything right. And it was just an interesting place because it was a cafe and it was a bar. And you walk through all that craziness and then you get to the fine dining restaurant.
Well, we will see you next week for the first SmackDown.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.